It's time for Blindly Obvious.
Our world seems to be unraveling. And as it does, we're all grasping for control. We're trying to find some way that we can push back the darkness or the evil that seems to be so pervasive and overpowering. And it's refreshing when there are people in leadership capacities who are stepping up and who are not only just filling a spot, but who are actually trying to implement positive, effective, meaningful change. I hope you enjoy this interview, and I hope it inspires you and encourages you not only to have a brighter outlook on the world, but to be that bright spot that makes a difference.
Something I like that you mentioned earlier and I think is a great approach is your idea of education. Let's educate you and show you why you're facing the consequences that you're facing and show you alternatives of a better living situation that maybe you've never actually been able to experience before.
You can apply this to any type of situation or issue, right? And people are only going to take what they want to take. Mm-hmm. You know, so if someone wants to make themselves better, they'll take the necessary steps to do that. So I want to be sure that we're giving them that information. As we look at this as a whole, we're not just talking about, you know, our crime issue here and people reoffending. We're talking about the general Joe and how can they be safe.
Right.
And so something I would like to bring is more community information where we can share with them maybe on a quarterly basis or maybe every 6 months and say, these are the issues that we have identified in our first quarter, in our first 6 months, whatever the case may be. This is where it's occurring at in the geographically in the county. Mm-hmm. And this is what we can educate you on how to reduce your likelihood of being a victim of this particular crime. I don't think that that's necessarily on everybody's mind when they leave, you know, in the morning or the afternoon or at night when they're on their way to work. What should I do to keep myself safe?
You're saying by educating the population, it helps to kind of increase the civil and well-run society. It's almost as if, once again, law enforcement or people in public service are working hand-in-hand with those in the community.
Right. You know, law enforcement doesn't work without the community. I don't live in every neighborhood of the county. Mm-hmm. I only live in the neighborhood I live in. And the same thing for everybody.
Sure.
And so when you think about how law enforcement does their patrols, we don't know what is and what is not. If we see a pickup truck backed up to a house, is that somebody moving?
Sure.
Or is it someone breaking in?
Or moving in illegally.
Right.
You know? Squatting or something.
And, you know, and of course, you know, just by deduction of facts, we can say if it's 2 a.m. and someone's backed up to a house, you know,
something's up here.
You know, somewhere, someone along the line, someone told me that was just not right, right? You know, but you know, if we're talking daytime stuff, we're talking vehicles in neighborhoods, we don't know what belongs and what doesn't belong. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it's so important that we have a trusted, positive interaction and relationship with the community so they feel like When they see an issue, they're going to call us and let us know. That's our job to go and look into
investigate
those things and check things out. You know, and along the way, I come across people all the time, you know, and they say, well, you know, these door-to-door salesmen. And my very first question is, well, why'd you answer the door?
Right.
If you don't recognize the person, nothing says you have to answer the door. Now, is that the welcoming thing to do and so on and so forth? Yes, it is. But, you know, if you live out in the middle of nowhere and you're by yourself, you don't have to answer the door. Don't answer the door.
Right.
And if they don't leave, call us.
I think people they're wanting to function on the old polite society.
Yes.
And we've kind of crossed that Rubicon. It's gone. And we'd like to get back there.
Right. Absolutely.
But this is no longer Mayberry, even in Macomb.
Right.
It's things are shifting quickly.
Mm-hmm.
In my view, Obama got it right when he said, we're no longer a Christian nation. I was deeply offended when he said it, but he was right. I just didn't want to accept it. With that went a whole value system that led to a polite society. Because we no longer are operating on that value system, there went our value system and there went our polite society.
Right. On the flip side of that, I've heard a lot too. People say, well, we don't want to bother you because we're sure you have more important things to do. Well, our more important things to do is ensure that you're safe.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
to serve and protect, right?
Right, right. But you, I'm with him. I don't want to give you one more thing to do, especially if it's nothing. Because you're thinking, this could be innocuous, and I don't want to pull you off of a real emergency.
For something that's...
Yeah, where I'm just
some
like...
Some guy selling magazines.
I'm just being paranoid, you know?
Well, and what you have to think about this is, you know, we will always delegate our response to calls by the nature of the calls.
Okay.
And how what the severity of them are. So if we get a domestic in progress, a burglary in progress, and you call about a suspicious vehicle... You're going to have to wait on a suspicious vehicle,
right? You have a two-hour wait list.
Yeah. Right, right. So we're going to come, but it's going to be after we address the more pressing issue. And so that's why it's so important for people to understand that you know, call.
Yeah.
You know, we may not be able to get there right away. We'll get someone there as soon as we can. But if there's an other pressing issue, more...
You take that into account.
Yes,
so we shouldn't feel bad calling.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
Now, in this role that you're about to assume, is this something that you, from the beginning of your career, kind of envisioned yourself doing? Or is this something that you felt reached a point of, man, this has kind of gotten to a place that I didn't really think we would be in, and I really think I can make a difference in making some positive changes?
Right at the very beginning, everything is new and fresh, and you're like, I don't think I want to be in a position to make decisions here.
Yeah, I'm good where I'm at.
It's so complex, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's how everybody feels when you first start a new job. But as you move on, you learn, you grow, you have your own ideas. I started to really take a hard look at our organization and ask myself, is there something that my leadership could benefit by this organization and the community have by me being in charge?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously that question was an absolute yes, because I'm a learner, I'm an educator, and I always want to know the best way to do things, right? Because it's about efficiency.
Right.
And my dad pushed education on me hard early on. That knowledge, they say knowledge is power, right? And so now I've turned into, like, I love reading leadership books. I just finished a book called Going Pro, and that's all about professionalism, the three different levels of professionalism in an organization. And Tony Kern authored this book, and it's just an amazing book. And if I could throw a plug in there for Tony Kern, I've never met him before,
right.
But it's just an amazing book that, you know, if you feel like yourself need some improvement on being a professional, or the organization can use it, I mean, this book is really that good.
Well, I'm going to throw you a bone. This is, I usually get a pretty good read on people, and you're the type of leader, again, you've already verbalized this. You're not doing it to empower yourself. Everything you're using, you're trying to empower your community, the people around you. You're giving them the same trail to be able to achieve the same things you have. Like here's the keys to how I got here. Mm-hmm. And it just speaks volumes. It's why I'm listening to you talk. And I wish that we had this discussion at the Moose Lodge.
Okay.
Than the one that you were forced to use as a platform, because now I understand why so many, listen, Dan Harmon's a great guy, but Dan Harmon was an unknown. And I'm so glad that in law enforcement, there are so many great guys. But now I understand why so many people think so highly of you. So you should know that.
Thank you.
I've heard a lot of good things.
Well, and in the spirit of fairness, you got like 2 minutes per question on those platforms.
You don't have a fair chance. And I know okay, so our system is not set up for these kind of discussions.
Right.
It's a tit for tat back and forth. And why are we going to get more bang out of our buck for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
From you. And so it's just, it's all wired against you.
Right.
And
that's why I was so appreciative going through the process of people actually reaching out and saying, okay, this is what you said, but I kind of feel like I have more questions, right?
Right.
I want to clarify some things with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so appreciative of those people that reached out and asked those clarifying questions.
Brought it to the source.
And brought it to the source.
Assumptions about, well, he said this, so I know he meant that.
Right. And then people speaking out against you. And it's just like, you know, give me more than 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And honestly, my wife will tell you that I like to talk, you know? and truly, that was my struggle through this entire thing.
You're an educator,
right? So I like to get into the weeds of things and then circle it back and tell you why.
part that I love about that is that you're not intimidated by the difficult question.
No, absolutely.
But you
not.
But you'd like a chance to talk about it, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like don't give me more than 2 minutes,
yes,
right?
Yes, give me more than 2 minutes.
And we can figure it out together.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And,
I love that.
You know, one of my mentors in the CLE program told me, he says, don't ever think you're the smartest guy in the room.
Right.
You know, in that old saying,
you probably are in this room, but
that old saying of, if you think you're the smartest guy in the room, then you need to change rooms.
Right, you're in the wrong one.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, and that's why I really took on that collaborative leadership of getting input from everybody.
Yeah.
And so when I ran my shifts and I would present a problem to them, I would identify what the problem is. And I would say, okay, you guys tell me what you think and how we can solve this. They would oftentimes say, well, what do you think? And I would always deny and defer and say, no, you give me your input first. Because I don't want the, hey, he's the supervisor, so we're just going to go with what he said. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So I want everybody's input because, you know, we all have different perspectives. We all have different life experiences.
And if he's the leader, you give your view, you're going to shape everybody else's and steer the entire conversation.
Right. And that's not what I'm trying to do.
And truth be told, all of those perspectives, if from a healthy viewpoint, blended together are probably where you're going to find the answer.
And the best answer.
And the best answer, yes. Because inevitably, somebody's going to bring you a perspective that you didn't think of. Or you didn't consider.
What is something that you think currently runs well as far as at the sheriff's office that you look to maybe expand upon, but you think it runs pretty efficiently?
I think the entire office runs efficiently on a general basis. You know, are there things that we can improve? Yes, there's always room for improvement. You know, there's some programs that have went away that I would like to bring back. You know, bringing back our canine program, because I just think that is a great community engagement tool with kids and adults alike, right?
Sure.
I did not realize how many canine supporters we had in Hancock County until I got into this campaign. That was their very first question. What are you going to do to bring back the canine program? And so our school resource officer program is something else that I would like to dive into and take a look at, because are we utilizing our school resource officers as security guards for the school, which is important, but what else can we be doing with them? Mm-hmm. Are there issues within the school that the officers can identify with their encounters with students that can help us forecast future needs or current needs?
Sure. So it's as though you're saying you're not here just to be a security guard per se, as much as you can be, once again, educating and assisting and coming alongside students to maybe take them off the path of headed down to not so good issues before it actually gets to that point.
Right. And if they need resources, you know, to help them become more successful, then I want our officers to work with the school officials to be able to identify that.
Sure.
And, you know, to see if there's those types of resources that they could be provided.
Right. I think that's great because, I mean, unfortunately, everybody, you know, every student isn't blessed with a wonderful home life. So I think that's awesome to have these people be able to maybe identify and reach out and assist in that.
People don't realize that a lot of times the reason kids act out in very atrocious ways is because they don't have the tools, never been taught the coping mechanisms, appropriate ones. Mm-hmm. And so they only use the ones that are easy.
Right.
And unfortunately, they're violent or whatever. And if you can intervene, kind of like with a tow truck and get a ride home, if you can intervene and say, there's a better way.
Yes. And, you know, and to that, with the coping mechanisms, you know, something else I think that we really need to take a hard look at is our community mental health.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not only our community mental health, but our officer mental health
well. Yeah.
So what do you see as a potential solution in that avenue?
So currently the Family Resource Center is working on a grant that will allow a representative from Family Resource Center work directly with law enforcement. What they would do together is they would essentially be like a response team.
Mm-hmm.
And so while the officers will still respond to those crisis calls to try to mitigate it, if it's needed, we can call this team out and they can take over. That's going to relieve that officer to go back to addressing other needs.
And then it's actually getting those people in those situations the help that they really need. They don't necessarily need handcuffs as much as they need somebody to actually take them through a process of almost rehabilitation once again.
Yes.
And my last question for you is, can you think of a time in your life in which your faith is, you know, maybe you came to a crossroads in your life and your faith is really what pushed you through to the other side?
Oh boy, that's a tough question. Not really. Tough to answer. Tough to answer. You know, so my faith has always been what I feel like has been strong my entire life. You know, I grew up Catholic. When I became an adult, I strayed away from the Catholic religion. You know, there's just some things I don't agree with or,
sure.
or you know, want to necessarily participate in. And
I'd say most of us have been there at one point or another.
Yeah. And so I started exploring other avenues. And there just came a time where I felt like the things I was seeing, the things I was experiencing on the job, all the trauma and tragedy and heartbreak got the best of me. I really began to think that God was punishing me. No matter who I talked to about it, religious or spiritual guides, family, friends that I was close to and I trusted, they would all say, God always puts you where he needs you, Mike. And my response always was, I don't think so.
what does he need me here for?
Yeah, you're not there. you don't know, right? Mm-hmm. And so, and my wife now being one of those people. So one afternoon, I got a phone call from a friend, and he says, "Hey," he says, "I'm in town visiting your local hospital," and he's a jokester, and I said, "So, does that mean like you're there visiting somebody, or does that mean you're there?" Yeah. And so he laughed. He's like, "Nah," I says, "I got some issues going on." And I says, "You know what?" I says, "I'm off today. I'll come down and visit you." So I go and I visit him for a little bit. And as I'm walking out the main entrance of the hospital, a car is driving through, and the driver is just like staring at me. And that's not uncommon for me, right. For people just to stare. I don't know if it's because I did something good for them or I arrested them. and so this woman drives through, and she just comes to a stop in the park, right in the middle of the parking lot. And I keep walking towards her, and she gets out, and she says, "Are you Mike Cortez?" And I said, "Yes."
It depends.
Maybe.
And she says, "You probably don't remember me." I says, "I remember exactly who you are, Mrs. McKee. I had handled a fatal crash with her son." Uh-huh. And she says, "You know, Mike, I have seen you no less than 3 times in the last few months."
Ooh, I just gave him the gut bumps, man.
"But for some reason, God spoke to me and says, you need to talk to him today." And I'm standing there just looking at her like, "Okay." And she's like, "I just want you to know my family, and I know my son is so very grateful for what you did for him at the scene. And we are so very grateful for what you did for us when you came to deliver the news and how you stayed with us until we got people there. And you were a guiding force for us through this whole mm-hmm. process." And I says, "You know," I says, "Mrs. McKee, thank you, but it's not, I didn't do really anything different for you than anybody else." And she says, "Mike, I don't care what you do for everybody else. We only care about what you did for us."
Right.
And she says, "I want you to know that we pray for you every chance we get." And she says, "God wanted me to talk to you today, and I hope you get that." And so she hugged me. She cried. I was holding back the tears. And so I get in my truck, and of course, the waterworks come, right?
The whirlwind of what just happened.
Right, right. And so I call my wife, and I say, "So, apparently God puts me where he needs
me." Yeah.
And so it was that day when I accepted that God always has a plan. It's not necessarily my plan.
Right.
It's mm-hmm. always his plan, right?
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when I really embraced that whatever I do in my life, it's because God has put me where he needs me.
He's got his hand on you.
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome. Well, I think that's great. I'm so happy that we got to do this. Like I said at the beginning of the show, our really only long-form encounter was me being an unruly teenager. Well, it's been really cool, though, too. What I wanted to do here was exactly what I think we've accomplished, is really get the opportunity to actually let people who maybe don't know you actually get to know you a little bit, like who the man is that's going to be running the sheriff's office. And I know a lot of the sheriff's deputies speak, like Jeff said, very highly of you, as well as the members of the community who actually know you. So I think for those who don't, this is a wonderful time to really actually get to understand the person that you are And I think you've made a career out of being a caring individual. I think you're very well balanced. So those, you know, who have differing views or maybe different ways on how we get to the end goal, I think what's really awesome about you is that you're willing to sit down and listen to what everybody has to say and kind of reach the best conclusion for all.
Coming into the campaign, I didn't know, I've never done it before. And so I didn't know what I was going to do. And so somebody made a recommendation that I meet with a community stakeholder. So I went and met with that individual. I wasn't sure, again, what I was going to say. But at the core of it, I thought, this is about building relationships, repairing relationships, and learning how we can work together to collaborate together to make things better for the community,
right?
And the services we provide. Mm-hmm. And so at the end of that very first meeting, this individual said, thanks, Mike, for reaching out. No one has reached out. Mm. You know, no other candidate has reached out. So I appreciate it. You know, I think you should talk to this person next.
Right.
And so
you just followed the trail.
I just followed the trail.
One door opened another.
Yeah, between November and the election in March, I met with over 65 individual people one-on-one.
Wow.
And that was my week during the day, is meeting with individuals. And it was always from the baseline of, what can we do to make our relationship better between the sheriff's office and your organization, right, to better serve the community?
And I think that should be a question we should all be asking,
mm-hmm,
not just you. But
what
even,
can we all do?
Yeah, how can we improve our relationship with the sheriff's office?
Right. We will always do our part to try to do things better. Now, are there going to be mistakes made? Sure, absolutely.
We're all human.
But I assure you that we will address those mistakes,
right,
and we will try to become better for it. My shift motto is, we don't fail, we learn.
Mm.
And we come back tomorrow and we become better for
That's great. And I think, especially in the time we're in now, transparency is such a key component to success that seems like something that you seem to be really about. And I think that's going to serve you very well.
Refreshing.
You know, much honor and appreciation to Sheriff Feldman for the 28 years that he has served our community as sheriff. You know, I think he has over 50 years total as a member of the sheriff's office, and the opportunity to build and to learn and to grow, and for us to have that good, solid foundation right now that I have the ability to build upon,
right,
and do even better things.
Right.
You seem like something that's very important to you is you've never forgotten where you've come from.
Always, you know, try to turn around and lean your hand back and build those people up. And and that's
say,
what's,
thank you, man.
Yes.
Thank you.
You know, and you know, professional development obviously is very important to me because that's how we become better and that's how we grow and do more things. And I think there's an expectation when it comes to public service that, you know, the people expect this, to have a leader that has that ability to carry things forward and to continue. And my succession plan starts January 6, 2025. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start to build our people up so that when it comes my time to depart, that we have somebody that's available and ready to step into that role.
So I think you're very much a, not necessarily a handout, but rather a hand up.
Right.
As in, we're going to pull people up to success.
Right.
That's right.
Awesome. Well, on our way out, when we have a guest, usually Jeff prays for him. And so if you don't mind,
God, we are so grateful that you do place us right where you want us. Help us all to be open to what you're trying to do through us and not resist that. And we thank you the fact that you would use broken people like us to do amazing things and create positive ripples in our community. We pray for protection for Mike and that you would continue to have your hand upon him and give him a clear path forward that he may see your will and walk in your ways. So pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. As always, this has been Blindly Obvious. If we can see it, you can see it too. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes, as well as learn a little bit about us. We're so happy that you're here, and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. Peace, love, and God bless. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and share the word. Remember, the eyes mean nothing if the mind is blind.
It's Blindly Obvious, baby.